Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Christmas season is upon us, and so I love talking about Christmas. I love, you know, just rereading the Christmas story. I highly recommend that every year you actually read it for yourself, go through the scriptures, read it, realize the get the revelation of what Jesus is and who he was and how God came in the form of a baby, in a humble form of a baby. That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, one of the number one things I love about Christmas is the story of light. In fact, in our sort of pre-service, Bella talked about with the team that light is always brought up around the Christmas season and people put up Christmas lights everywhere. Who's done that on their house? Sol, where are you? I think Sol's house. I drove past. Where is he? Hiding behind a tree? No, anyway. I think Narnia's behind there. Anyway, so, but you know, some people, yeah, John gets it. Anyway, so, you know, lights everywhere. And even last night, or Friday night, we were driving back from Toowoomba, Beck and I. She goes, you know what my favourite memory of our Christmas is? I know what you're going to say. The night we went and tried to find the Christmas star. And if you were with us back in 2020, yeah, anyone like the OG, anyone that was around? Yeah, that's like one of you. Anyway, so it's a new church, new different people, that's all right. But in 2020, when we came here that year, the Christmas star was showing up again in the sky. It hadn't been seen since the 1300s, apparently. And so I was pretty excited about that. And the Christmas star, just so you know, is actually Saturn and Jupiter in alignment, right? How do I know that? If you haven't heard this story, I discovered this when I was an Uber driver. In fact, I discovered it because in my Uber era, I had invites like this to a Christmas carols at the old church I went to. And I picked up these ladies and they were on the way to the airport. And I said to them, hey, you know, Merry Christmas and all that sort of stuff. And they were like, yeah, yeah. And I said, where are you off to? And they said, oh, we're off to an astrology convention. And I'm like, oh, right, we're astrologers. We believe in the stars and all that kind of thing. And I went, oh. And I said, well, what do you think about the Christmas star? So it was God, the star that drew people to Jesus. And then I said, who? So, and they go, yeah, that's true. And I said, so who's Jesus to you? And these ladies go, well, we never really thought about it. And I said, but that, surely the stars showed the whole universe was screaming, go to Jesus, wasn't it? And I remember this conversation went on in the car and they were quite fascinated. And they said, well, what do you believe? I said, I'm a Christian. Go to church. And they went, ooh, not sure about that. But I said, no, but I'm really interested. Who's Jesus to you? And they said, we've never really thought about it. I said, so the whole universe is screaming out, go to him. So who is he? And it was such an interesting conversation. And then this lady goes, well, actually, it wasn't a star. And I go, oh, what do you mean? She goes, it was actually, in astrology, we understand that it was actually Saturn and Jupiter were in alignment in the sky, which led them to this baby Jesus. I said, well, what does that mean? Why is that important? She said, Jupiter represents king, and Saturn is the planet that represents the Jews. I said, you're telling me the entire universe is screaming, go to the king of the Jews. And they go, oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. So the year in 2020 hasn't showed up, this alignment. And I thought it was pretty funny. And Beck and I went out. We were like, let's find it. Let's follow the Christmas star. Maybe there'll be a baby in a manger somewhere. Like maybe it's a redo. But we went driving. We left the Gold Coast. We went out early. I said, we can't stay in the city because it's too bright. You can't see the stars here. So we drove out to Bow Desert. Then we drove to Boona. And then we drove back across and we were out for hours at one stage. Is that it? We got up. No, that's not it. You know, like it was just this. So after, I don't know, it must have been like 4 hours or something, we were on the hunt for the star. We kind of got really disappointed. We were like, we didn't see it. We got home and I remember walking into my unit, went out on my balcony and looked up. Oh, there it is. John, yeah, it's fair. He's like, Az, you're an idiot. But we did. We sat down on our back and went, it's been there the whole time. And I want to challenge you today. You might have been seeking for a very long time and it's right under your nose, Jesus. You might be looking everywhere, but it's right in front of you, the truth of Jesus. And he's just shining and he's like, here I am. Here I am. In fact, he'll come to you. because he came to us. He came and sought us out. Trying to find Azenbeck. Where Azenbeck? Where are you? That's what Jesus does. And Christmas reminds us of that. This amazing thing about how God sent his son on a rescue mission for you and I to find you. To show very simply, here I am. Here I am. And today, I just want to have a look at a couple of the people that were the first to find this baby Jesus. Because we know the Christmas story really well. Who are the characters in the Christmas story? Good one. Who else is in the Christmas story? Mary's part of it. Shepherds, three wise men. There's no lobster, just so you know. Get your theology right. Angels. There's a few characters. So we're going to have a look at a couple of characters over the next 2 weeks. And it's sort of like a short series called Shepherds and Kings. Shepherds and Kings. And so Josiah's going to continue next week with this. But it's interesting, there were two groups of people that got drawn to baby Jesus first. Shepherds and kings. And Christmas actually shows us that God came to serve in a humble form. He didn't come with any force or humility. He was born in a stable, no pomp and ceremony. On his arrival, he called these two different people, two different groups to begin with, completely opposite ends of society. We've got the lowly shepherds that were kind of rejected in society, almost like, the shepherds. And then we've got the highest form of royalty. Two complete different ends. And on that very first Christmas, God draws both of them, all of them, and shows us that it doesn't matter where you fit, everyone is called. Everyone is called. But it is interesting that the shepherds were first. The shepherds were first. They were the first to see Jesus. We're going to read this in Luke 2. If you've got your Bible, open it and read it. If you don't have your Bible, look at the screen or look at your phone. Or if you know it off by heart, you're very spiritual. Anyway, so, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those whom he is pleased." This week, I read this story multiple times, just over and over, just trying to get my head, wrap my head around this moment. For these guys that would have been maybe seen as quite just average people in society, are having like a show. Like they're like, whoa. Angels declaring, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those he is pleased." A bunch of men who keep to themselves out in the fields, doing a job that's pretty thankless. But in this moment, it's actually not just, oh, I'll choose the shepherds because it's dark there and it will show off the light better. It's not just like, oh, that just, it's intentional. Everything that God does is intentional. It's in place. It's perfect order. It's his goodness showing up in the Christmas story. Because 700 years earlier, there was a prophecy about this coming Messiah. And all of a sudden, these guys get chosen. Can you imagine being there, being one of them, chosen first to see Jesus? The most important story in history, and you get drawn into it. I don't believe it's by accident that shepherds were called and kings were called. It actually gives us a glimpse of who Jesus would become, a great shepherd known as the Good Shepherd and an amazing king known as the King of Kings. Those in those spaces came to worship the best version of who they could be. They were called to see the Good Shepherd and to worship the King of Kings. Right at the beginning of Jesus' life, shepherds come to see this baby. In Luke 2:16, it says this, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard wondered at what the shepherds told them." All who heard wondered. All who heard about this thing were amazed. All who heard were in awe of what these shepherds told them about this baby Jesus. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if we had the same wonder this Christmas? If we genuinely had an awe within our heart of who this baby Jesus was and who he'd become. We had that wonder again. We didn't just rush through this season, but we thought about this baby boy, the life of this little boy, an innocent, beautiful child that would become the Savior of the world. 33 years later, from that moment of wonder, Jesus would declare to his disciples that he had come to be the Good Shepherd. He revealed it to his disciples in John 10. It says this, he actually sat them down and he says this, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not know the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is telling his disciples after 3 years of hanging out with them, I'm going to die for you. That's how much I love you. I'm going to die for you. And no, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't understand it. They were like, what are you talking about? You're not a shepherd. I've not seen one sheep with you this whole time. What do you mean? He would declare that he would die on behalf of those who chose to follow him. He would take the punishment to see them saved from the dangers of the wolf. He would actually put his hand up and go into fight. Jesus in this moment is not just thinking, he's trying to give some kind of analogy, like trying to show just a random thing. He's actually fulfilling prophecy. If you've never heard this, in the Bible, there are many prophecies about Jesus coming. That's what makes the story of Jesus so amazing. He didn't just show up and he wasn't just a Jewish rabbi that taught some good things. He fulfilled prophecies that have been spoken about him for hundreds of years. In fact, 700 years earlier, a prophet named Ezekiel wrote this. In Ezekiel 34:11-16, it says this, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lay down in good grazing land and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays." We talked about it before. Jesus comes in search of us. "I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." How beautiful is that imagery of who Jesus would become only 700 years earlier? Like this, you cannot make this stuff up. This Christmas, would you look into Jesus? Because when you get to see him for who he is, you're like, how can I deny who he is? It says this, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." A few lines of Ezekiel's prophetic vision to us this Christmas season. Jesus' mission, coming to earth in the form of a baby. He was here to do exactly what that prophecy said, to search out, rescue the lost, to bind up the injuries, to bring healing to our lives, both physical and spiritual strength to those who are weak. And maybe you've come to church today feeling really hopeless, feeling like you've got a wound or a broken leg spiritually. Maybe it's an internal injury that no one sees. And on the external, you look really fine, but internally, you feel so broken. Today, Jesus wants to bring healing. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He was the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy. A prophet named Isaiah. These men that wrote these scriptures in the Old Testament, amazing that they were so in tune with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit we can access today, by the way. They were so in tune that they penned these words, what they saw. They foresaw what was going to happen with this Messiah and how he would do things. And Isaiah, 700-800 years prior to Jesus' arrival, writes these words, pens these words. Isaiah 53, "Who has believed what is heard from us, to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of majesty," sounds like a baby in a manger, "that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. That's what happened to him when he taught. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Rejected by people, he was crucified. We know that. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Whoa. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Can you imagine Isaiah writing this down? He's seeing it all. He can see it clearly what Jesus would do for us. And he writes it with such clarity. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sometimes we can read these scriptures and go, there's some words in there that I do not understand. Maybe you're ChatGPTing it right now. Explain this to me. I'm going to read this in a different version that can give some simplicity what Jesus did through his life. Let's read it like this, in more layman's terms. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turn away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all of our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he did exactly that. He died for his sheep, you and I. Jesus, the good shepherd, is one worth listening to. When he calls. King David, before he was King David, was a great shepherd. He knew how to protect the sheep. He was out in the field often. We know he was out there because, well, when he comes across the moment with Goliath, he says to the king of the time, he goes, I've killed bear and lion with my bare hands. He was protecting his sheep. He put his life on the line constantly. He understood what a good shepherd was. And David had this incredible relationship with God. He understood the character of God, and he often talked to God, and he wrote about God. And he understood that he was a good shepherd, but, I mean, God was going to be the ultimate shepherd. And he writes this in Psalm 23, one of the most well-known psalms, that we can rush by not realizing this is talking about Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus would embody the words of David. He would become all of these things for us. And all it takes this Christmas season is accepting that. Putting your faith in Jesus. Saying, I'm a sheep that needs a good shepherd to show me which way to go. My uncle has a sheep station. And I've shorn a sheep once when I was a kid. My uncle Peter. And I remember having to hold down this sheep while it was shaved. And I tell you what, sheep, they don't like it. Shepherds are, you know, they're strong. But they also know what's good for the sheep. And Jesus is like that for us. When we deserve the death penalty, when we deserve the aggression of the destroyer, the wolf to come and destroy our life, Jesus took our place. He put himself between us and the enemy. And he died so that we could live. He overcame the sting of death. He didn't just die. It's not a tragic tale of a good man that died. And we remember him because he died. He rose again. That's the good news. He overcame it once and for all. He shows us that he could overcome sin and death. He could live forever, and he gives us that freedom to live forever as well. That we can have eternal life with him if we put our trust in him. We don't have to fear death. He has a life for us that's abundant, a life that's good if we just trust in him. If we're prepared to listen to his voice, the Bible says the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They know his voice. They're in tune. When you choose Jesus and you say, hey, I need you to be my good shepherd, this is what happens in your life. The words of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, when you actually give your life to Jesus, surrender to the good shepherd, you're not consumed by what everyone else is consumed by, the world's needs. At Christmas time, you're not obsessed with what you're going to get. You're not caught up in the hustle and bustle where everyone else is getting dragged into the craziness of life. You're like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm content because I know whom I am. He makes me lie down in green pastures. When you let God be the good shepherd, when you let Jesus be a good shepherd, he will give you the rest you need. He will give you a place where you can just be like, ah, so good. He leads me beside still waters. He provides a place of calm in crazy times. He restores my soul. He will give you that restored inner peace and freedom that you're looking for. You're not going to find it in anything else but Jesus and actually surrendering your life to him. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his namesake. Righteousness is knowing what is right. He leads us on paths of righteousness. When you actually go, you are my shepherd, I am just a sheep, I want to follow you, he will show you which way to go. Lead you on paths of righteousness. You will not slip, you will not fall. He loves you. And if you do fall, he'll pick you up. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When you allow him to be your shepherd, even when you go through times of great pain and sorrow, which life is full of, unfortunately, he will always be there with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He will gently correct you. He'll push you towards where you need to go. He will bring correction because he cares about your life. He doesn't want you to fall in a ditch and die. Sometimes, I know my Uncle Peter with his sheep, sometimes he'd pull out and just whack the, come on, get in. Get in the pen. Get the dogs. Why is he doing that? He's not trying to, he's just like, hey, come into safety. Come into safety. Sheep can be pretty dumb. It's kind of a bit offensive. The Lord would call us dumb. Oh, yeah, I cop that. You know, like, Josiah's like, well. But thank God I've got the good shepherd on my side. And he's like trying to show me which way to go. When you've got the good shepherd, he wants to take you into a field of great protection, the place where you can rest. In fact, if you are in a place today where you have not got that in your life, would you accept him to be your shepherd? Because the scripture actually says, to get into the pen, you have to go through him. John 10:7-10, Jesus says this, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is the gate. He's the good shepherd. And this Christmas, I've really got one question for every one of us. Would you accept the greatest gift of all, Jesus being your good shepherd? Would you accept his grace and come to be part of his flock, a place where you can find rest for your soul? He invites you in, all of you, no matter your background. As I said, I love that the shepherds got to see him before the kings. The kings still got to see him. But God called those that, quite frankly, would have maybe been not on the list if we decided to go to the King of Kings. Notice there's no religious leaders there. You know, there's shepherds. The shepherds remind us that this Christmas is not about status, wealth, or education. It's not about what's under your Christmas tree, what's on your Christmas table. Jesus calls us all in to his pen and says, hey, would you trust me? So as we wrap up this morning, let's just close our eyes. Let me ask this question. Have you accepted him as the good shepherd in your life? Or are you a rogue sheep? Going, nah, I'm not going in that pen. He's like, hey, it's actually really lovely in here. I've got life and life abundant for you. Would you hear my voice? Would you accept my correction? Would you just come in? If that's you here today and you're feeling a bit lost, got a limp, need healing, I want to say that Jesus is calling you in and he actually wants to bring healing. In that passage, David says, he anoints my head with oil. That was actually a part of the shepherd's job. Every day to take every individual sheep and put some olive oil on its head. It actually brought healing, major healing. The biggest part of the healing was to stop its mind from racing. Truthfully, there's parasites that can get up in the nostrils of a sheep, and the oil under the nose would actually stop the parasite from getting in. If the parasite got in, it would get into the brain, it would get into the thought process of the sheep, it would drive the sheep mad, and the sheep would bang its head up against the wall. In fact, many sheep would knock themselves out and even kill themselves because of the mind, the thought process that has got in their mind. And what this good shepherd would do, he would anoint and say, hey, let me give you my anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, that will protect your mind, protect your heart. He wants to give that as a free gift to anyone who needs it today, to give you a new start, to change your thought process, to change everything about your life, to give you rest where you need rest. If that's you today and you're like, huh, I want that. Oh, I need that in my life. Would you just raise your hand? I'm going to pray that, yeah. Yeah, amazing. You're like, I need the good shepherd. Yeah, it's good. Anyone else who just need, that's for these first timers, you know, like, oh yeah, I see that hand, amazing, amazing. The good shepherd loves you, he wants to show you which way to go. Anyone else? Just wants that, oh yeah, at the back, it's so good, mate. Like just to know the good shepherd this Christmas season, but not just for now, but for the rest of your life, know his voice. Anyone else? This is like, I just need the good, yeah, see your hand across there, so good. I just need the good shepherd. He came to be the good shepherd. He loves you. Is there anyone else? This one's received that love today. There's so many of our hearts going, oh, yep, I need it. I need it. Anyone else? Because I'm going to pray. Okay. To be able to be a sheep of the good shepherd, you have to actually take his instruction, receive it. And actually that means you've got to humble your heart to go, oh, I'm a bit stupid. I'm a sheep. I accept the fact I am not God. I got this all wrong. I feel pretty stupid. God's like, that's fine. Let me pick you up. Let me bring healing to your life. So we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to say, God, I'm sorry. That's called repentance. Repentance is the moment like, I have been stupid, but from this day forward, I choose to be wise and follow you. That's what happens in this moment. He invites you in. So we're going to pray this prayer. Dear God, we thank you. You are the good shepherd. We want to be your sheep. We want to hear your voice. And we want to follow you. We're sorry. We repent of the times we've tried to do it our own way. Help us follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.